Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the state you've given us, and please be with us throughout the next week. And please be with this money so it will be blessed and be able to go to your church into the building of your kingdom. And I ask these things in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Stay seated and sing hymn 92. I want to welcome each one of you this Sabbath morning to the house of the Lord. And I pray that we have come in the spirit of oneness, the spirit of worship, the spirit of joy. Joy of knowing the fullness of the gospel and knowing our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we have this on the web, I will introduce the men up here on the rostrum with me. To my right is Priest Roger Rash, and Roger will have the invocation. Next to him is Elder Bob Bates, and he will have the benediction plus the prayer over the food for the potluck. Our speaker today is Glenn Hughes, Elder Glenn Hughes. He will bring the spoken word. And my name is Clarence Herning. I am taking the place of Richard Adams, and I'm a lot shorter and not as wide. The scripture I have chosen today is from Helaman. I've always enjoyed this scripture. I think it has a lot of meaning to saints, even Saints Havens that we have gathered here today. It says, in the 51st year of the reign of Judges, there was peace also, save it were the pride which began to enter into the church, not unto the church of God, but unto the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the church of God, and they were lifted up in pride even to the persecution of many of their brethren. And now this was a great evil which did cause the more humble part of the people to suffer great persecution and to wade through much affliction. Now this is a key right here that we will read, the 31st verse. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray often, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the fulfilling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctifying of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. Who else would we want to yield our hearts to but unto God?
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have come apart from the world this morning to this, thy house of worship. And already your spirit has been felt. And we praise ye, Father, for all that you are and all that you do for us. And we have gathered together this morning to worship you and to serve you. And we would pray that your spirit might be with us in great power, that our hearts and our minds might be touched, and that we might receive that ministry that we need this morning, and that we might go forth from this hour with a greater determination and desire to serve thee with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength, to do that which thou hast desired of us for many, many, many days, and that our witness of you and your power and your love for your creation might be stronger in our hearts and in our minds and in the things that we say than it ever has been before. We pray, Father, for our brother Glenn, who is our minister this hour, that your spirit might be upon him in great power, that his tongue might be loosed, and that he might have clear thought of those things that you would have him to preach unto us this morning. That these things might be accomplished, we pray. We pray with great desire, and we do so humbly in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
My call to worship this morning will be Acts 2:17, if you'd like to read along. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy, for that beautiful music. That's something. I'm not very musical inclined myself. I've tried playing a mandolin. I've been practicing it for years now, and I still don't have it down one song. So I appreciate somebody that loves it. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to be here, back off vacation. I don't know why they call it vacation, because you take this much and squeeze it in that much time, and we try to see everything. We went with our very good dear friends from Springfield, Gary and Debbie Schrader. And I'll make a disclaimer. I told my wife I wouldn't embarrass her, so she's looking at me. So anyway, we went down into Texas, went down to the Gatlinburg area, Chattanooga, and over to Cumberland Falls. And we went to a place there at Cumberland Falls, at the Cumberland, it's south, the Cumberland Gap. And you have to go up this switchback road, and there's a parking lot. It's about 500 yards, or about 50 yards to the lookout point. And oh, this creation that God has given us to enjoy, it's bountiful and it's wonderful. We were there reflecting. For all the good things in this world. And there's one spot as you're standing there looking, you're standing on where three states join. Tennessee, Kentucky, and Virginia. And so that's the kind of traveling I like to do. It's real quick. Get it over with. We did a lot of walking, and I finally got to the point, if I can't see it, I'm not going to try to get there. Because last time I seen them, I was sitting at the van, and they were went over to a cabin. It's a settlement area they call Cades Cove. And it's just beautiful. And anyway, we went on up to, and I'm telling you this for a reason, because we went on up to Cumberland Falls. And at Cumberland Falls, they have a moon bow. And this was the last night it was going to happen this year. The moon comes up, and there by the falls, the spray of the falls, there's a moon bow, and we've seen it. Who did everybody see the cross this morning? Everything was just right. The sun, the shadow, the leaves, and we may not get to see that again. As Clarence was, it couldn't came at a better time. Clarence was teaching class. It has a lot to do with what I want to say this morning. Anyway, I'm going to finish reading this in Acts 2. I'm going to go to 18. And my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and noble day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall on my name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a beautiful, beautiful promise. And I do have some notes. I wrote and rewrote this, and I sat down last night with a paper and a number two pencil and wrote it out again. I bring you the full gospel, the full word of the Lord. It's right before you. I talked before that when I was in the Marine Corps as a young man, I was stationed in Yuma, Arizona. And I was stationed there my entire duty. I was going to some military schools. And I thank God for that. We had orders. It was time that, I think LBJ, he was really escalating the Vietnam War. In 1968, I had orders. We was getting ready to load up, packed. They issued a stand down order. That was during President Nixon's first ministry. And I know he did a lot of things wrong, but that he did right. So I thank him for that. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say, and it's really tearful for me, this experience I had. I joined this little church. I thought it was time. And I believe it was through witnessing, door-to-door witnessing, that we met these people. I was married to my first wife at the time, and we started attending this church. It was a Pentecostal church, and the name of it doesn't really matter. But it was a very small church, about the size of our garage church when we first started. And they made it in this old church building. And they really believed in doing missionary work. We'd made a couple trips down into Mexico and met some beautiful people down there and some wonderful miracles. Anyway, one evening service, I was standing there. I think I was sitting on the back row, and a gentleman got up to say the opening prayer. And I was standing there. And God blessed me with a vision. I looked out, everybody just disappeared, and I was standing on a hill. And next to me was Jesus. I was standing kind of behind him at his right side, standing back. And I did not see his face. I could see just a little shallow part, and I didn't try to. And it was, as the experience Moses had in section 22, you really got to be in the glory to see God. So anyway, I was standing there, and it was overlooking a valley. It really came down into a narrow valley that you could just barely get through. And there was a pile of rocks on the left, and to the right of me was, down below, an open pit. And I knew it was hell. It was red. It was fiery. It was like looking down into a volcano with the black smoke and everything. And at the beginning of this valley was, like I say, a pile of rocks, and the entrance was very narrow. And multitudes of people was outside pushing in. And before him was a path. And it forked off. To the left, it went straight to the open pit. To the right, it went to Jesus. These people started coming in, pushing and shoving. And Jesus is standing there. Come unto me, my children, and I will give you rest. But you know, there was a great many of them that ignored him, and they walked, and it's just like they leaped right into the open pit, the bottomless pit of hell. Very few came up to the mound where we were standing. I suppose there's a bit of education in there for me. And I don't know, some reason God has allowed me to see things like that. This has happened once before, not too long ago. That's for another day.
I have been into meetings in Mexico where we have experienced tongues. We could understand each other. Didn't know what, when we started out, didn't know what each other was saying, but it got to where we could understand each other. It's just like the day of Acts. You would actually hear people, and you could hear them in your language. Some time ago, when I first, I'm going to go back a little bit, give you a little bit of history. After I got out of the Marine Corps, I was going to stay there. We were going to stay there. I felt like that was the place. And this gentleman that was going to our church, I said, well, I don't have a job here. I don't know what, I'll find something, I suppose. But he offered to come in, for me to come in and work for him. He was had a funeral home. He was a mortician. And he said, I will teach you everything, show you everything what to do. He said, you have the right spirit about you. And if you learn it, it's yours. He had no heirs to pass it on to. Anyway, I don't know, one night we just up and packed up the car and headed back for Missouri. And as things went on, I got a truck driving job, and I drove for 12 years over a million miles and mostly all over the Midwest. And I quit attending church, I quit reading, and I don't know why they call it backsliding. Up until not too many years ago, Rowan and I were married, and let me tell you, I'm probably her biggest job she has to do. I'm still training me. She showed me. Through charity and through doing, we started going to a little church over at Lockwood. Hubert Coos was there, and we made real good friends. And I would go once in a while, not all the time. And then we decided to move. She wanted to gather, thought we should gather in. Okay. I came up here and found a job. She loaded up the truck. We came to Independence. And she met this branch. She went to a lot of branches. She didn't really find anything she liked. And she came to Atherton. She liked it. And I would go occasionally over there. And then they had a division. And that's when the garage church started. And she would tell me. I started going. Beautiful people, beautiful spirit. And without the people there praying for each other, this is what I missed, what I forgot when I was younger and went away to the other side. It's the visiting, the friendship that you have, the prayers that you were offered. A lot of prayers went up for me, and I appreciate it. And today also. God just keeps giving and giving and gives and gives. Well, how much more can he give? Well, it's unknowing from beginning to the end of eternity, whatever that is. I work in a cave, and we lose our power once in a while, and you can't, you see this. That's eternity. Nothing you can see. We're able now to see horizons, trees, there's something there, but eternity is forever. And I would like to read I really don't need to read it. I think everybody knows it.
the greatest gift of all, his son. John 3:16, whosoever believes in my son shall have everlasting life. Everlasting life. And I'm sorry I can't quote the verse, but God said, and you will be with God in happiness forever. Now that is really joyful. That's just not a place where you're going to sit and be bored after about 10 minutes. It's everything. Every second is going to be something. I'm not sure that they don't have time, which is a good thing because I don't carry a wrist watch anymore and always have to ask somebody what time it is. I have a lot of pages marked in here, so that's later. You know, a lot we're met here today in this beautiful building. It wasn't so beautiful when we first purchased it, but it was to me. The moment I stepped foot in here, and I'm sure others, and I know that others felt the same. You felt God's spirit here. And there was a lot of men and women, and I will say, like George, Rich, Clarence, the others of us, men and women, that spent their time shaping the wood, cleaning the wood, standing, painting. I did a lot of picking up. And people were, I fell off a ladder downstairs once. It didn't, somebody caught me. I think it was an angel. Farron got knocked off up here putting the beam in, didn't get hurt. I think Mike Stallman cut himself. Was that you, George? You glued yourself together? Yeah. Okay. So God has blessed us very well. And what do we do in return? He put us here in this place that we might do his work. Who knows? When you knock on a door, it may be a person like me that didn't know Jesus at first. But he received, you give them the invitation to where they can come and share. And we welcome all visitors with open arms. I always believe that you may be a stranger, but when you walk through that door, you're a friend and part of this family. We let no strangers leave. When they leave, they're friends of ours. So, I want to say the time is now, the place is here for us to act. This evening, I'm to give a report on the home ministering program, and I'll wait to do that this evening. But we have to work. I know things are tough. We're busy. I'm, going vacation. Got work to do. You got to catch up. You got chores you have to do. Crops to be harvested and hay to put up. Cows to take care of. But still, we have to take that time. I know. We all don't use our time wisely. I don't. I pray a lot when I'm out by myself or driving back and forth to work, which is not too far. I'm driving about 4.5 miles to work. I pray a lot at work when I get there. And sometimes things are not going well where I work. I just stay in my office. And I have the scriptures on my laptop at work. I got an email here. I got to read this. It might take about an hour. So I'm fortunate that I'm able to do that.
I was talking about visiting and going door to door and what have you. It reminds me in section 59:2a, and I go ahead and respond to this. What is the first commandment?
Love God.
With all your heart, with all your heart, mind, soul. All right. And the second, love your neighbor. Same way. Yes. There's, you know, you have to love everybody while you love God. I have a, no, it's here. I'm sorry. On our refrigerator at home, we have this little sign, along with all the other little, there's a copy of this out on the table if you'd like to have it, along with other signs we've accumulated. One was from Jonah, you know, the grudge is like taking poison. You take poison and hope the other person dies. Well, that's on there, and a lot of children's pictures and what have you. But I was sitting there one morning, or when I got from work, and Rowan was busy in the kitchen, and I was sitting there at the table, and I seen that, and a light just went off. C-E-L-E-S-T-I-A-L. Consciousness of Jesus. Educated in the Word of God, loves like Jesus, exalts and thanks God. S is stewards of God's blessing, testifying validity of Jesus. Intelligence, abundant living, and L, life is Jesus. A time ago when we went to the break area there at Atherton, and that's when I started going regular, pretty much on a regular basis, someone asked me, we were kind of sitting around, mulling around like we always do, and someone asked me, says, why doesn't God do miracles anymore? And remember that question, I'm going to answer that here for a second. At the time, I didn't really know what to say. And I was reading the celestial thing. That is the top of the chain. You got the other two glories. But I believe we should always try to achieve the highest. I want to be up there, do the best I can. And I know it seems like about every day I get behind me Satan. Am I the only one that does that? Probably not. But he is always tempting us. Always. He's always there to tempt us. And we just have to live like Jesus. Say, get behind me, Satan. And not give in to anything that thinks he's offering us. We believe in... We have to believe in our prayers. Praying with all our whole heart and every being of our body. And in Moroni 7, you know what he talks about. Faith, hope, and charity. Oops. Having faith in God and yourself. Have hope that you are praying. What you are praying for is to help others and to do God's work. Charity. Having charity is the greatest of all. And as I said, there are many of us here that are examples of that charity. They're willing to give up, not give up their time, but add to their time. They have more than enough to do, but yet they say, yes, yeah, I'll do that. Go ahead and do it. And squeeze it in. They're going from this much down to this much, or actually from here to there, and doing everything. So I just thank God for people like that, that are willing to take the burden upon themselves and to help us. Yeah. Anyway, back to Moroni. Whoops. I'm not going to start with all of it, because he puts down a lot of faith and a lot of hope. But the thing I would like to mention is charity. On 750, if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is Christ, he must needs have charity. So it starts right from the very beginning. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, if he must needs have charity, and I will read all the list here. Charity suffereth long, and is kind and evident not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And then we'll skip on down to 53. Wherefore, my brethren, pray unto God with all the energy of your heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he has bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen. The love of God. That is true love, the greatest love of all. Like I said earlier, we've came a long way since the garage church. I like to include myself in that. I know I didn't go every time, but I went as much as I thought I had time for, and it was a great reward. One night, Dan asked me to do a closing prayer. I was about fell over. I said, me? He said, yes. So, anyway, by agreeing to that, that's when I know that's when the Spirit of God came into my heart. And the New Glenn took over. And I've been trying to improve from there. When God called me as a teacher, I was rather reluctant. And I did a lot of praying over it. And it took me a few weeks to accept that, and I did. And it was a great blessing. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from people. I learned a lot about myself. Called OJT, on the job training. And I appreciate the work that the priesthood would help me in. I didn't know the first thing about being a teacher. My brother George Mefford helped me with that. He got me a book, an old book that's not in publication anymore. And he offered that to me, and I about wore the pages out of it. So should God call another teacher to this branch, he'll have that book to read and help him. Like I say, we've come a long ways, and still we got a ways to go.
I want to give you a challenge this morning. And that is, and I know some of you probably know it very well, but it's the first book of John. It's not very long. I read it. It takes less than an hour, and I'm not the fastest reader in the world. So, but all John talks about here and is trying to get across to us is God is love. God is pure love. And somebody asked me, is this a sin, that a sin? Well, anything that is bad is of Satan, and anything of good is of God. The smallest minute thing to an earth-shattering thing. So all we got to do, that little thing kind of like I said before, get behind me, Satan, and go about your business, and praise God that you're able to do that. Anyway, I would like for y'all to read that if you ever have time. When you have time, sit down by yourself or with your spouse and read this. It's just absolutely amazing. I'm going to give you a little sample in 4:17 of 1 John 5. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? All this commandment have we for him, that he who loved God love his brother. I think I missed something. When I was talking about the moon bowl, I said that. Yeah, thank you. Go back to that first question that I was asked when I, how come God doesn't make miracles today? We're not trying. We're not loving him the way that we should. So we should always, always seek his love, and miracles will come. He gives us gifts. And there may be one person has a gift of healing, and that can be passed on another person at the time that is required. You never know when you be called upon to do something for somebody, and you need to be prepared. Something else. It's in Moroni 4. I thought it was 10. No, 4:94. Sorry. I was looking. This is what I use for bookmarkers. I got this out of my great-grandfather's ledgers, and he wrote prayers down. Dear Heavenly Father, make me a better man, for thanks to Thee for so many blessings. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit, and teach me Thy Word, and help me stay Thy Word, and help me to understand what Thee would have me to do. December 5th, 1909. Not much has changed when people want to seek God. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanliness. Ask God that he may consume it on your lust. but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and the loving God. And I smell potluck downstairs. I don't want to hold you up anymore. I would close with may God bless you this day, and may you serve God, and God serve you well. He's there. He loves us. And the answer to that question, God does have miracles now. He has healing. We know people's been healed. We've heard people prophesy. And people have visions. It says, and your young men will have visions. Apparently, I'm still pretty young because I had one just a couple of years ago. And the old man dreamed dreams. And I've heard a lot of testimony of God visiting men in their dreams. God bless you.
Thank you, Glenn. The greatest blessing any of us can have is humility. And I think we've shared with humility today. Shall we close our service this morning with hymn 413, Higher Ground? And after which, well, Bob Bates will have the benediction, and then he will have also the prayer with the food that we'll have right after. 413.
O God, our eternal Father, we turn to thee now for a blessing on this congregation and the people around. May thy Spirit go with us as we go, that our lives may be enlightened and that they may glow with the righteousness that comes from thee and the love that we share. We ask, O Lord, that this will go to our homes, that our homes too also may be filled with the brightness of thy love, and will give all to the world the significance of Christ in our lives. And as we go, Lord, that we join together in dinner, we ask that thy Spirit will be with us there, that we enjoy the fellowship, and that we have a blessing upon that food, that it may nourish and strengthen us to the ends that we must do. For we pray all this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.